Okay, the book of John. Last message in the book of John. Please rise for the reading of God's word. Chapter 21. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Raise your hand if you need a Bible. Last chapter. We have a couple Bibles over here, ushers. All right, last chapter in the book of John. We started on October 30, 2016. And today, October 28th, 2018, we're finishing. We've gone chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We are in verse 18. This is Jesus speaking, the resurrected Jesus. He's speaking to the apostle Peter, and he says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following him, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" In verse 22, Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is it to you? You follow me." Then this saying went out among the brethren, that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, "But if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we pray now that you fill us with this word. Bring this word alive, Lord. Bring it alive, Lord, that we may follow you faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you may be seated. So, the very next book after John is what? Shout it out. Acts is the book of Acts. In the first chapter of the book of Acts, you will read that for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead, Jesus appeared to his disciples many times. In fact, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 said, one time there was 500 people. 500 people were there. And Jesus didn't just appear and vanish. He didn't just appear and vanish. It wasn't like this, whoa, you saw that? I think that was Jesus. It wasn't like that at all. The book of Acts chapter 1 says that he appeared and he taught about the kingdom of God. He talked about the heart of God, what the heart of God is like. Fallen man, and every man and woman in this room is in the category of fallen, meaning we've fallen and we come into this world, and as we grow up, we have all kinds of twisted, wrong thinking about God. So God, show us your heart. And that's what he does in the Word of God. That's what Jesus did when he, both the all 3 years that he was teaching 2,000 years ago, when he was alive, but after he was crucified, he did the same thing for 40 days, teaching about the heart of God, the kingdom of God. And that's what's going on in John 21. It's one of the appearances of Jesus after he died, after he was crucified and rose again. This is one of those appearances. And then after the 40 days, he was taken up into heaven. But there you have it. And so here, it's the Apostle Peter. He's having a conversation with the Apostle Peter. Remember from our study last week, after declaring to Jesus immediately before Jesus got arrested and taken away to be crucified, he swore to Jesus that he would never forsake him, that he would go to his death for Jesus, and that he would never deny Jesus. But just within a few hours, what did he do? He denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. He denied him. And it didn't take a lot. It was just a little servant girl. Just a little teeny girl. Hey, aren't you that guy that was with Jesus? Not me. Three times. And so in John 21, Jesus, he's been resurrected by this time. He's already appeared twice to the disciples. The beginning of the chapter we learned last week, he's standing on a beach. They're out fishing. Peter and the apostles are out fishing. They had fished all night. They had caught nothing. Jesus appears on the beach. He shouts out to them, "Put your nets on the other side." So they put their net on the other side and it fills up with fish. 153 large fish. And so when they realize, wow, okay, we've been here before, 3 years earlier. We've been here before when someone told us to throw out a net and it filled up with fish. They realized it was Jesus. When they did, Peter plunged into the sea and he swam into shore to the beach. In fact, he beat the boat. And so they get to the beach. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, had cooked a meal for them of fish. And they ate with Jesus. And it was at that point where Jesus began to restore Peter. So after breakfast, remember, he denied three times. Do you know Jesus? No. Do you know Jesus? No. Do you know Jesus? No. So Peter comes in and three times he asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Yeah, I love you." And then Jesus said, "Well, you need to feed the sheep." He asked him again, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yeah, I do. I love you." "Well, then you got to feed the sheep." He asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And it says at that point, Peter was hurt. He was hurt. He said, "Yeah, you know that I love you." And Peter said, "Feed my sheep." In other words, instead of always going about comparing yourself, boasting to everyone around you, "If everyone else forsakes you, I will die with you." Stop doing that. Love them, feed the sheep. Don't exalt yourself over them. Feed them. Give them the word of God. Give them love. Give them the love that I have given you. You give to them. Feed them, Peter. And that's where we left off last week. But very important. The restoration was not complete. The restoration continues, and that's what brings us to verse 18. In verse 18, so after the third time he told Peter, "Feed my sheep," he says to him, verse 18, he said, "Now most assuredly," meaning listen now and listen very carefully, "Peter. I say to you, Peter, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked wherever you wished." Meaning, when you're young, you go around, you do whatever you want. You make, with your free will, your free choices, you're going to do whatever you want. "But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Peter would be crucified. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, "Follow me." So let me explain to you what's going on here. Yes, Jesus had already three denials, and Jesus had gone to him and said, "Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep." But Jesus knew that there was something else going on in Peter's heart, something that was burning on his heart, something that needed to be fixed if Peter's restoration was going to be 100%. Listen, God always wants to restore you 100%. Please understand that. He will do whatever it takes to restore you after you fall flat on your face 100%. There's only one condition. You gotta plunge into the sea and go after him and get to his feet and surrender yourself. So we're halfway there. Jesus knows the restoration is not complete. He knows that something's on his mind. And so let's talk about that. What is on Peter's mind here? Well, have you ever let someone down, like in the worst way? You failed them miserably. So bad you just want an opportunity to make up for your terrible failure. Anyone been like that? Is it just me? So I remember a long time ago, I took care of someone's dog. I don't recommend you call me to take care of your dog. I have a bad record. So this person had me take care for 2 days, their dog, okay? And, you know, I went over there and fed it and this type of thing. And then after 2 days, I get this call from these people and they go, hey, Steve. Oh, yeah. How's your dog? He destroyed our house. The dog destroyed our house. And then they reminded me of what they wanted me to do to take care of their dog, and I had done like 5% of it, and I just felt so bad. I'm like, oh, I wish I could take care of their dog again. I never got that opportunity. So my wife sometimes, she'll go to the store or whatever, and look, Steve, I'm going, and I'll be back in a couple hours and pick up the living room completely and clean it up before I get back. Oh, sure, yeah, I'll do it. And then, you know, 2 hours goes by, 3 hours goes by, and I go downstairs and I look and I see what is the most terrible thing. The living room is completely clean. Someone has completely picked it up. Guess who? My wife. She's gotten back from the store. She saw that nothing was done, so she did it. And it's just a terrible feeling. This does happen to me on a fairly regular basis. I'm like, oh no, and I'm just thinking, please give me another opportunity. Jesus knew that Peter, there was something burning on his heart. Oh God, if I had one more opportunity to have a knife or something put to my throat, do you believe in Jesus? Do you follow Jesus? He knew he wanted that. Remember what he said. Can we get the verse, Sean? Remember what he said right before Jesus was arrested and hauled away. He said, though they all, speaking of everybody else, all the other disciples, fall away because of you, I will never fall away. And it says, Jesus said to him, truly, I tell you this, very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Matthew 26, verses 33 through 35. And as soon as his life was on the line, like maybe he'll die, so his servant girl asked him, weren't you with Jesus? He's thinking, I don't want to die. No, I don't know Jesus. And so a couple weeks later, here he is on the beach with Jesus. He can see the love that Jesus has for him. He's been even told, look, Peter, you're my guy. If you love me, then great, feed my sheep. But Jesus knew that Peter still, he wanted that opportunity again. That opportunity, oh, if I could only show my God that I really do want to die for him. And I'll do it right next time. That's what Jesus takes care of in verse 18. He again, 3 times, do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, feed my sheep. But then he says in verse 18, most assuredly, meaning Listen now and listen very carefully. I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself up, meaning you got dressed and you prepared yourself to go, and you walked where you wished. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hand, and another will gird you up and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. In other words, what Jesus was telling him, you will die. You will have that chance. I know you blew it, like in the biggest way, but you will die for me. And most of us may not like being told, you know, you're going to die by crucifixion. It's a terrible form of torture at the time, an execution. But this is exactly what Peter needed to hear. When you fall flat on your face, God will restore you. Not just 50% get back into the ministry you're supposed to do or whatever. No, 100%. You will have another chance to live for me, and you'll succeed next time. So, and just a wonderful, wonderful restoration here, a complete restoration. And remember, it's not until then, verse 19, that Jesus says at the end of verse 19, okay, now, follow me. He made sure the restoration was complete, and then he said, follow me. An absolutely complete restoration. God is ever and always about that, and you will fall. But know this about the heart of God, the kingdom of God. He wants to do the same thing with you. So in verse 20, follow along. It says this, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciples whom Jesus loved. Remember, who is that? Shout it out. Who is that? John. So John calls himself throughout the book of John the disciple that Jesus loved. It wasn't an expression of pride. It was an expression just awestruck. He loves me. I'm the one who loves. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who had also leaned on his breast at the Last Supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Remember, at the Last Supper, Jesus said that one of you is going to betray me. John was literally leaning back into his breast, his chest, and he asked Jesus, who's going to betray you? He was so close to him. So when he says in John chapter 15, when he says, he quotes Jesus as saying, I am the vine, you are the branches, abide in me, live in me, connect with me. He knows what that's like. He knows what that oneness is like physically, but we can have that today. And that's what he talked about in John 15. So Peter, it says in verse 20, turned around and he saw John following. Again, at the beginning of verse 20. Peter turned around and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. And so verse 21 says, well, seeing him, Peter said to Jesus, but Lord, what about him? And Jesus said to Peter, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Okay. Here we are at the very end of the book of John. What John wants to do here is leave you with just this. He wants to brand on your soul. Everyone know what a brand is? You brand a cow. He wants to brand on your soul something. These are the last words of this book we've been in for 2 years. And what he wants to brand on your soul is this thing. Verse 19, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. And so, interesting here that he says to Peter, follow me. He says that Peter started following him He's just been restored. He denied Jesus three times. Do you know Jesus? No. Do you know Jesus? No. Do you know Jesus? No. Jesus comes back a couple weeks later, restores him. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my lambs. Do you love me? Yes. Feed my lamb. Okay, then. And by the way, you're going to have an opportunity to die. I know you failed me miserably, but you're going to have that opportunity that you wanted to die with me. And then he says, follow me. How long did it take for Peter to fall away once he started following him? Anyone? Shout it out. A couple seconds. About 37 seconds, I think. Okay, so what happened was he said, follow me in verse 19. So Peter's following him. And then what does he do? Hey, that John guy is following too. He forgot about when Jesus said, unless you put your hand to the plow and don't look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. He forgot about that. 37 seconds or 3 seconds, whatever it was. And that's how we are. That's how every one of you and every one of us is so dependent on the grace of God. So what does Jesus have to do again? Just like he'll do with you if you fall miserably right after he restores you, he restores you again. So he restores Peter again. And he turns to him and he says, if I will that he remains, in other words, that he remains, that he follows me till I come again, what is that to you? He says, you follow me. You follow me. Pay attention. You follow me. That's none of your business what he does. What had happened here, just in a brief nutshell, was a rumor had gone around that John, the Apostle John, was not going to die until Jesus returned a second time. All the other apostles had been martyred. They'd been killed for their faith. John is 90 years old at the time he writes this book. He's still around. And John is just trying to quash this rumor. There's always been gossip in the church. It's always wrong. People starting rumors. So he's quashing the rumors. And he's saying, don't you pay attention to what's going to happen to him. And then he says in verse 23, then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die, yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die. All he said was, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? So just because I said if, doesn't mean it's going to happen. Just because I said he may be alive when I come doesn't mean that he will be alive when I come. But never mind any of that, Peter. You follow me. So here in the last, in the very last words of John in this book, he's emphasizing this one thing. And he's trying to brand this in your soul. He's trying to make the deepest possible impression on your mind, Calvary Chapel in the city. And that impression is this. Follow Jesus. He's saying to you right now, follow me. That is what he is saying. Follow me. Life is all about following Jesus. Romans chapter 11, verse 38 says this. It says this, for of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Your life is all about following Jesus. So follow him. We're at the end of the book of John. Are you going to follow Jesus? And let me close with this. Verse 25 says this, the very last verse of the book of John. It says this, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. That's what you call hyperbole. It's like a picture for us. It's a picture of something he wants to do in your life. I have a question for you as we close out the book of John. Do you want to be a man? Do you want to be a woman who you lose count of how many things that Jesus does in your life? Do you want to be like that? Do you want to be a person where at your funeral or I don't know, 10 or 20 or 30 years into your walk with God, it's like God has done so many, Jesus has done so many things in that woman's life. We lost count a long time ago. Do you want to say that yourself about what God has done? God has used me so much. He's done so many things in my life. I lost count a long time ago. Do you want that in your life? Well, you're going to have to follow Jesus. That's the point. You're going to have to follow Jesus. That is the point. You know, you can get trapped into what so many in America, this country of ours, just loaded down with wealth and prosperity. You can get trapped, even in the church, even in the body of Christ, you can get trapped into that endless cycle. You're born, you go to school, you get a job, you get married so that you can have kids, so that you can celebrate birthdays, so you can do vacation, Christmas, and then your kids, they go to school, they get a job, they get married, they have kids, and it just goes on forever. But no one's ever thinking that, oh, wow, you know, I lost count of how many things God has done for me. You know why? Because they never followed Jesus. They've just been following, as the Bible says, the dictates of their own heart. Whatever their heart wanted, they've just been following it. Jesus ends out this book with a message for you. Follow me. That's what he's saying. So he has to repeat himself, though. He has to repeat himself, because right after he says, follow me, and Jesus, Peter starts to follow him, Peter does the one thing that trips us up, messes us up, makes us fail in our following of him. What did he do? Started looking at other people. He started looking at other people. If the worship team could come up at this time, actually, if you've been asked to pray, if you could also come up. I just want to finish with this. This is the thing that will trip you up. It'll knock you off. The enemy of your soul, Satan, will knock you off track following Jesus just because you're looking at other people. I can't tell you how many times God has tells me this every week. He tells me, why are you looking at other people? You stopped following me because you're looking at other people. Look at me and follow me. Now, just this week, I'll just give you one example. Just this week, I found out that a friend of mine who is a pastor, I found out that to prepare for his messages, to prepare for his sermons every Sunday, he prepares, he starts his preparation and ends his preparation on Sunday morning before church. I heard that and I'm like, wow. I mean, that really messed me up, because I start on Friday night. And my rule is, before I talk to you about the God's word, is I'm living and breathing it. I start on Friday night and I just go right through. You know, I start back up again about 2 p.m. on Saturday, and then I go right up to the service. And I'm living and breathing. But I'm thinking about this other guy. It's like, whoa, what's that about? You know, should I be doing that? Like, is that really right? And the Lord's like, whoa, Steve. Why are you looking at him? If I want him to do that, if I am using him, starting his messages on Sunday morning, that's none of your business. You follow me. You follow me. Some of you today, you know, you're not following Jesus. At one point, you started following Jesus, but you stopped it just because you're looking around. And some of you are seeing what you're looking at people that are, You come into church and like, wow, look at that life. That is one holy sister. I'll never be like that. And you just get discouraged. Or many times also what happens all the time. How many times have you talked to someone, they're like, well, I don't go to church because they're all just hypocrites there. They're sleeping with their boyfriends or girlfriends, you know, on the weekends. They're getting stoned. They're getting drunk. What a bunch of hypocrites. Same thing. God's like, what is that to you? Stop looking at other people. Look at me. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this. It says, look upon Jesus. This is for you, Calvary Chapel in the City. Look to Jesus, not to this guy, not to that guy, not to this person who seems like they never fall or do everything perfect, or not to this guy who's like stumbling all the time and getting into sin. Well, I guess I can do that. The grace, you know, hey, cool. No, you look at Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured the cross. He cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He cried that out so you wouldn't have to be forsaken by God. He was forsaken by the Father on the cross, the wrath of the God, the anger of God pouring out on him so you could live. You know, the Bible says everyone dies, very few live. Most are in this endless cycle, be born, be schooled, have kids, have 100 bowls of pasta every year. They're in this endless cycle. But Jesus died on the cross, and it says here, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. John chapter 1 verse 1 says this, so this is where we began 2 years ago. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? Shout it out. Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Follow him. Follow him, Calvary Chapel in the City. And when you fall flat on your face, let him restore you. Plunge into the sea. Go back to him. Go back to the beach where he's at, ready to dine with you, ready to do business with you, and follow him. Okay, so why don't you rise? I'm going to close in prayer and dismiss the service, and the worship team is going to, after I dismiss the service, they're going to sing a worship song. I will remind you next week, turn back your clocks. Men, sign up for the men's retreat. This Saturday at 5 p.m., five Calvary Chapel worship teams are meeting at Ruggles Baptist Church. We're leading that effort. The card is in your bulletin, but let's pray. Actually, if you have kids in the nursery or in Sunday school, you're dismissed now, so you can go now. They're waiting for you. We've run over. Thanks for your patience. Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus for this time. Lord, that we can open your word and see you teaching about the kingdom of God, teaching about your heart towards us, that you restore us, not only halfway, 100% of the way, not 95%, 100%. Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name for anyone here, Lord, that doesn't understand your grace, your love in that way. I just pray, Father, that you would continue that work of grace in their hearts during the final worship song. I also pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord. Oh, that we would get to the point in our life that we lose count of how many times you've worked in our lives. But it takes this. It takes following you, Lord. We need your grace to do that. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you are dismissed. God bless you.